This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. On Thursday, the Food and Drug Administration took a first step towards potentially eliminating most trans fats from our food supply, saying that it has made a preliminary determination that a major source of trans fats, those are partially hydrogenated oils, are no longer generally recognized as safe. What does all this mean? Well, let's ask a guy who's a specialist in heart health, Dr. Dean Ornish, who's the founder and president of the Preventive Medicine Research Institute and clinical professor of medicine at UC San Francisco, and the author of a half dozen books, including his most recent one called The Spectrum. Dr. Dean, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What is a trans fat?
Well, trans fats are fats that have been modified to go from a liquid fat to a solid fat, and what that means is that the reason why manufacturers use them is that it increases the shelf life of the product. The problem is that it decreases the shelf life of the humans who consume them by increasing the risk of heart disease, by increasing the risk of inflammation, which underlies many forms of cancer and so on. And so there's, you know, 10 years ago, I consulted with the CEO of McDonald's and encouraged them to take the trans fats out of their French fries and fried foods, which they ultimately did. And I also consulted with the heads of PepsiCo. I chaired their health advisory commission, and they did the same thing. They own Frito-Lay, and they took it out of the Fritos and Cheetos and Lay's potato chips and Doritos and things like that. And so what they showed is that it can be done. Many of the manufacturers resist that because they say, oh, it's going to add the cost and it's going to change the flavor of the foods. But as McDonald's and PepsiCo showed, it can be done, and no one noticed the taste. If anything, people thought it may have tasted even a little better.
If it's so bad for us, why was it legal in the first place?
Well, I think that people didn't know as much then. It's unfortunate that it's taken 10 years for the FDA to come to that place. But, you know, things often move slowly in that world. And I think that Peggy Hamburg is doing a tremendous job there. And I'm delighted that they have decided to take this action.
Now, explain what the repercussions are of this action on the foods that we eat. Are we going to see a lot of changes, or has the food industry already been moving in this direction?
They've already been moving in this direction because it's the one area that there's a complete consensus on among all nutrition experts. You know, I debated Dr. Atkins many times before he died, and even he and I agreed on that. It's one of the things that there's just such a consensus on that many, if not most, of the food manufacturers have already moved in that direction, but not all of them. And one of the other issues is that, as an interim step, the FDA and the FTC, I think, indicated that manufacturers should put on the labels that how much trans fats they had, but if it was a half a gram or less, that was considered zero, so it could say zero trans fats per serving.
Yeah.
But if you had a half a gram in several servings, you could get several grams of trans fats that could adversely affect your health and not even know about it. So I'm glad that they're going the extra mile here.
It's interesting that 0.4 is equal to zero in that world, because I've seen many, many products that say zero trans fat, and they were
lying
to me?
And it's because they can make the serving size fairly small, they can get it down to 0.4, even though, you know, the amount that most people eat would be more than a serving anyway.
Yeah. So are we talking about things like margarine disappearing from our shelves?
No, there are lots of margarines out there that really don't have any trans fats. That are made with things like canola oil that also has omega-3 fatty acids, which are protective. So the technology exists. At McDonald's, one of the early concerns was that there weren't enough canola oil growers on the planet to meet their demand, just because they have 43 million customers a day. But they've shown that even at that level, they can meet the demand. So clearly, people in smaller industries should have no trouble as well.
Where was the resistance to this? I assume there's probably a trans fat association lobbying group, and they didn't like this decision. But
the resistance was that food manufacturers like their products to have as long a shelf life as possible, so they can, you know, keep them on the shelves as long as possible. But like I say, I think that we need to be more concerned about the shelf life of the people who eat them than the shelf life of the foods. And if it requires them to replace them more frequently, then, you know, so be it.
How much is it going to change that shelf life? I mean, are we talking about a paradigm shift in the industry?
It changes it to some degree, but it's not huge. But, you know, in the grocery business, profit margins are relatively small, so that even small changes, I can assure you there will be a significant pushback from industry about this. I think having worked with McDonald's and PepsiCo and having them kind of blaze the way of showing that in fact, they can do this, that the food doesn't taste different, and the customers are healthier, and the they can still make tons of money, it's going to be hard for people to really say, well, gosh, we really can't do that, because they need to do the right thing.
You mentioned earlier that the industry, the restaurant industry and the food industry were already going in this direction. Does that mean in the last few years we've seen a decrease in people having heart problems due to trans fats?
Well, heart disease rates actually have been going down the last 10, 15 years or so, and it's hard to say exactly how much of that is due to this, but I think it's probably part of it.
Okay, so I'm curious about how the rest of the world treats this. Are we leading them or following them?
I think it depends. In some parts of the world, they've been banned for some time already. In other parts of the world, they haven't. And why this decision is important is that so many things that we do are copied by other countries. You know, and all too often, what's been happening is other countries are starting to eat like us and live like us and all too often die like us. Mm-hmm. You know, heart disease and diabetes, which used to be pretty rare in countries that are in Asia and Africa and so on, and third world countries, is now their leading cause of death. And it's all happened in the last generation. It's completely preventable. So I think that the implications and the repercussions of this FDA decision will extend globally and not just be limited to this country.
Yeah, I ask because I'm curious where the food industry is going to look and say, well, wait a second. Yeah, the United States is changing its rules, but we've got the rest of the globe that we sell our products to, and now we're going to have to make two different kinds of products.
Well, they don't have to make two different kinds of products. In fact, when McDonald's first changed their formulation, they started in other countries because they were, you know, the French fries are their signature item, and a disproportionate amount of their profits actually come for their French fries, and they were just really afraid that if they did anything that affected the flavor, that it would adversely affect their business. So they started it in Australia and other countries, and they found that, in fact, it didn't. In fact, sometimes they even preferred that.
Huh.
So I think that, you know, most manufacturers that are doing global businesses will not have to do two formulations. They'll do the same, you know, throughout the world.
Does this mean fried food is now healthy for us, Doctor?
Oh, no, fried food isn't healthy. It's just less harmful. So, you know, it's a question of degree. But, you know, even incremental change on a global scale can make a big difference.
Absolutely. So I mentioned when we started talking about this that what the FDA gave us on Thursday was a preliminary determination. What does that mean in terms of legislation or agency rulings going forward? How soon does this go into effect?
Well, the original plan is, or the current plan is, to have a 60-day comment period. But I can assure you that industry will push back. They'll ask for a longer time. They'll do everything they can to lobby against this. And who knows how this will all turn out, just because, you know, unfortunately, as you know, money has such an outside role in policy.
In everything.
In everything, but especially in politics these days.
Yeah.
And so who knows how this will ultimately play out. That's why I say I really applaud Commissioner Hamburg's role here, because there is a lot of pushback and there is a lot of money at stake here. And it's, you know, it'd be nice if companies said, we're just going to do the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. In fact, that's what PepsiCo did 10 years ago when I chaired their Blue Ribbon Advisory Health Advisory Commission. They said, you know, Steve Reinemann, who was the CEO, and Indra Nooyi, who's now the CEO, who's supported that, said, look, this is going to cost as many tens of millions of dollars, but it's the right thing to do, and we're going to do it. And they did. And I think that's the attitude that other countries and other companies need to emulate.
And when we talk about trans fat in PepsiCo, we're not talking about in soda. We're talking about in their Frito-Lay division, in their chips and snacks, right?
That's right. PepsiCo is a conglomerate. They own Frito-Lay. They own lots of different other companies, Quaker Oats and so on. And so they were doing this throughout their industry, not just for their soft drink. I mean, there are no trans fats in soft drinks, as you point out.
What did their competitors do when Pepsi made that change?
Well, that's a nice thing. At first, they pushed back, but then they realized that was the right thing to do, so most of them followed their lead. And so that's what I think what we're going to see here is that more and more companies are going to follow the lead of companies like McDonald's and PepsiCo, not only because it's the right thing to do and ultimately because it's now required by law, but because it's actually good business to do that. I think more and more consumers are aware of the importance of these health choices, are starting to read labels, and, you know, they want their kids to be healthy. And there's a growing awareness that the lifestyle choices that we make each day are the most powerful determinant of our health and well-being. And so the FDA has taken a big step here to make that easier.
Dr. Dean Ornish is the founder and president of the nonprofit Preventive Medicine Research Institute, clinical professor of medicine at UC San Francisco, and the author of a half dozen books on heart health and much more. His latest one is called The Spectrum. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you. And if you want more information or work, just go to ornish.com. Thanks again.
You're very welcome. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.